Notice the attention and affection that he has in it, especially for Timothy. He calls him my son. Of course, he wasn't his physical son, but certainly his spiritual son. He'd met him on likely his first missionary trip, found this young man. He was already highly respected. His mother was a faithful Jew. His grandmother had been. His father was a Greek. Paul began to take him with him and teach him and train him. He'd been using him now for some years. He'd been working in hard places, in difficult churches, where Paul had began the work and then moved on to another work. He'd had some hard times. Paul's having some hard times. He's in prison. He's going to go before Caesar. And it's a life or death situation for him coming up. And in this final letter, he says some very specific things about Timothy. The one we want to notice this morning is that Paul realized that Timothy was not without a background of godliness in his life. First in his grandmother, and then in his mother. You grandchildren and children made the day for grandma and grandpa. They'll never forget this day. And you had to get up a little earlier than usual, and you had to go somewhere you didn't normally go, didn't you? But you did it because you love them. And because they'll break your neck if you don't. I'm pretty proud of my crowd. These two young men here on this front row, they're young to me, John, I'm sorry. I'm mighty proud of these guys. Bo is a union electrician, works on all the big projects. John knows everything about computer there is to know. Their wives, Tiffany, our daughter, and Dana, our daughter-in-law, are good women, good wives. They're doing the best they can raising these kids, and they're working them half to death. And those kids on the back row, Randy got to have his star baseball player here, and so do I. Hank's my star baseball player. Stand up, Hank. He's not as big as Randy's. If I have Randy stand up, he'd hit the light fixtures. No, mighty glad Hank's here. He has a sister that plays soccer. And the only way I know to play soccer is just soccer. So whenever she talks about soccer, I just soccer. And my other granddaughter, Mercy, now she's a basketball player. Watch out now, she'll whip you, okay? And we're mighty proud of these kiddos being here today. And they make Nana mighty proud. I came across this a long time ago. When I was three and I was, till I was seven, I lived just down the road from heaven. You might not think that it was much, the old white house, a yard and such, a pearly gate on hinges that squeaked, a mansion fair with a roof that leaked. But there was an angel living there, an angel with soft and graying hair, whose cookie jar was never empty, just like her stock of peppermint candy. No matter how bad I'd been, what childish mischief I'd been in, I found a special sort of grace reserved for me at Grandma's place. Oh, yes, she spoiled me, and that I know, but oh, how we both enjoyed it so. We had our own small bit of heaven when I was three till I was seven. A little girl was asked one time to tell the difference between mama and grandma. And said, well, grandma's nicer, but she has more wrinkles. But she has frosting on top. Someone has written this. If I had my child to raise all over again, I'd finger paint more and point the finger less. I would do less correcting and more connecting. I would take my eyes off my watch, and when I would watch with my eyes, I would care to know less and know to care more. I would take more hikes and fly more kites. I would stop playing serious, but I would seriously play. I'd run through more fields and gaze at more stars. I'd do more hugging and less tugging. I would be firm less often and affirm more often. I'd build self-esteem first and the house later. I would teach less about the love of power and more about the power of love. Well, as grandparents, we kind of get a chance to do that, you know? We've learned some things along the way, and as we look back, there isn't one of us that wouldn't like to have maybe done things a little differently than we did, but isn't it fun? Isn't it fun? One lady said, if people could just choose to be grandparents, I'd recommend it to everyone. But it doesn't come quite that way, does it? And all of a sudden, grandparents in our time, I believe, have a very special mission. When I was growing up, my grandparents kind of were pitch hitters for my parents quite often. We had a dairy farm, and so when time for family vacation came, the rest of the family went on vacation. I was the oldest child. I stayed back, and Granddad and Grandma and I, we milked the cows. And in fact, I was so much a part of my grandparents' life that when my grandfather was in the nursing home in his last few years, they had three children, but he would tell people he had four and added me as the fourth one. We were that close, and they had a tremendous impact on my life. I hope that you kiddos who have grandparents like you have, I hope you realize what a treasure this is for your life. And you will never forget us, Hank. You cannot forget us, Mercy. We'll always be there haunting you. My grandparents are with me today. I can about imagine them right there sitting in the road. And they'd be so proud of me, just like I'm so proud of you. Just like Timothy, that influence, that rearing, that maturing that comes from grandparents, it is a grand, grand thing. Grandparents are so grand. I just thought of this as a way to kind of begin the service. How many of you remember a TV show way back on the kerosene day TV days called Mission Impossible? Does anybody remember that show? Oh, yeah. Look at you. All right. Here we go. Turn on the TV. Da, 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 da. Whatever the music. I can't do the music. Good morning, Mr. Phelps. The assignment, should you choose to accept it, is a very difficult and dangerous one. If any of your mission team are caught or killed, we will deny any knowledge of your activity. America has gone down, 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 morally. It has fallen for the last 100 years. Now it is almost at a breathtaking speed. You or none of your team would ever have imagined that in America today, there would be states and places where young children can go to the state, leave their parents, and get their sex changed operations as just small children. They can't have an aspirin, but they can have a sex change operation. Mr. Phelps, the moral decline in America is catastrophic. It is affecting the climate. It is affecting the finances. It is making it unsafe to live in any of the towns. As you read in the book of Genesis about how violence occurred continually, America is at that point. Not since Ayn Rand and Jochebed decided to try to save Moses in such a time when children are being gobbled up has it been like this. Today, even drag queens want to display their behavior in front of little children, trying to make them think all this is normal. Your job, should you choose to accept the assignment, is to teach and train those children. Fortify them to live in this dangerous and difficult time, and remind them of the principles and standards of the Bible and what God said that our founding fathers had in mind when they established this land. That's quite a job. I want to talk about the problems we face as grandparents. There's an instability and an immorality in America like you've never imagined before, nor I. One of the most dangerous things is that cell phone. All the world is on that cell phone. All the filth, all kinds of debauchery. When you turn that child loose with an iPad or with a cell phone, you have let the devil into their lives. I'm not an authority in this area, but there are guards that can be put on that phone that will protect them. I think I can help you get in touch with folks who can tell you about some of those guards. No one should be turned loose with a cell phone or an Uzi without some protection. The cell phone is just as dangerous. Recommendations are made by people in this area that say screen time needs to be limited. Safeguards need to be on those things. You need to talk to their mom and dad about this. This is highly important, highly important. Many of the kids live far, far away from grandparents. Many of you would have had grandparents here, grandchildren here today if they were close enough that they could have come. Sometimes family situations are such that you may not be allowed to have your grandchildren. Some of you were not able to bring grandchildren today. But I'm going to tell you, we live in a world where every child out there needs a grandmother and a grandfather. We aren't all blessed that way. I will never forget, neither will Patty, our second son, Rusty, was about 5, we think. Well, I was talking to her about this before I told this today. And we were worshiping in Huntington, West Virginia. And one of the deacons in the congregation was just a great man. He was such a good, loving man. And he had their child and their grandchildren that worshiped there with him, or with the family. And every Sunday, my son would see his grandkids come over, and Grandpa would take him in his lap, and he'd kiss them, and he'd hug them, and they'd talk, and they'd sit there. One day, my grandson walked over to him and said, "Would you be my granddad too?" There isn't a child out there, friend, that will not respond to your love. This is a powerful tool. And some of us can be grandparents to children who are not our physical grandchildren, but they need someone to show them that kind of love and blessing and acceptance. And one of the things the Lord's church can do is, divorces are everywhere, the divided homes, split homes, all kinds of problem situations. There are single moms that need some of us to kind of come around and be that masculine influence in the life of those kids. And a lot of us, kids up and down the block, need to see a loving, godly grandpa and grandma. And you can just love them all. It's okay. It's good. They need it. Many of them never see that kind of thing. Another problem is mom and dad busy. Mom and dad is so busy. I know, in my kids' families, I mean, they're on the run all the time. He's working, she's working. Who's going to take care of the kids? Somebody's got to do that. And you come home and you're exhausted. Here's where grandparents can come in and can pitch in and can be of some help. Some of us are grandparents long distance. And there are all kinds of things I've seen people do to try to help with this situation. Some have actually moved to be in town where the grandkids are. Now, we're blessed. I thought our kids would be scattered all over the world. And they all live basically in the middle of Tennessee. So we're blessed. That may not be your situation. I know of people who bought motorhomes, and they spend the summer traveling around the country, stopping in the towns where their grandchildren live, and take some time with the grandkids. I know of folks that bought farms so the kids could come and stay on the farm with them. I know of people that have taken houses and they've given the children bedrooms and even equipped them with furniture for their age and that they so that they really like coming to Grandma and Grandpa's house better than they do being at home. There's all kinds of ways we can adjust, and we still can be powerful influence in your life. Because I'll tell you what, they will never forget you. You get to be eternal. What's so grand about being a grandparent? I will be eternal in the mind of my children until they're dead and gone. And I suppose we, since we keep our minds even into eternity, you will never be forgotten. And you can teach them the true moral values of God's word. We were talking about Deuteronomy chapter 6 today in the Bible class hour, where you teach them when you're lying down and when you're rising up, when you're walking in the way. You have them have his precepts on the wall and around the doors, and you talk about it all the time. We have all these sets of DVDs. In fact, our kids are kind of outgrown. Some of y'all may want to take advantage of those. But it's whole volumes on Know the Bible. And it's done with cartoons, and they teach them stuff. I learned stuff off of this set. They'll teach you, like, all the kings of the Old Testament. Who cares? But anyway, they'll teach you all this kind of stuff. And the kids, it's in a song, and the kids can sing the song. And they know stuff after 60 years of preaching. I still can't go all those do all those kings. There's all kinds of valuable tools out there. And you can take advantage of them and use them and be able to teach children. And, oh, one of the main things I want to talk to you about is be sure you bless the child. In the Old Testament, there's the example of Jacob receiving his blessing from his father Isaac. And he did it unfairly. He cheated. He pretended to be his brother. But then when Jacob got to be an old man, and when he finally got to go down to Egypt and be with Joseph, after all those things that had happened in that history, when he got ready to die, he sent for Joseph. And Joseph brought his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Jacob made sure. Now notice what he does. He hugs each of the children. The kids need lots of hugging. You can't hug them too much. Patty has this beautiful a picture on the wall, I believe it's cross stitch, and it's a picture of a mother sitting in a chair rocking a baby. And it says, "Hush, cobwebs, dust, be quiet." I can't get the rhyme of it. "I'm rocking my babies, and babies won't keep." Somehow that rhymes on that, but I don't know how. They need love. They need to know your love. They need to feel your love. They need to see it in your eyes. I had a grandma who was so good at this. You get down on their level, and you talk about the things they're interested in. And you spend time with them, and you let them know they're special. And be a diamond miner. There are abilities and qualities those children do not recognize in themselves. But you watch them, and you pick out their strong points. You pick out the things they can do. And you give them a vision of what you can see they can be in the future. I've told the congregation here two or three times, but today I just can't keep repeating it one more time. I never planned to be a preacher. One of them, I want to be a farmer. I'm the Future Farmers of America, and I'm looking forward to farming. I love farming. Right now, I'm growing a half-acre garden because the kids can't afford what Lynn's charging at Kroger's for the groceries. And Grandma set me down one day because the VOAG teacher would take me and put me in a speech contest, and they found I could talk. I didn't know I could talk in any kind of way. That was 60 years ago, and I'm still doing it because my grandma sat me down and said, now, John, God's gifted you, and you need to use that gift for God. She had all set up for me. I could come to Lipscomb. I could stay with my aunt and her husband there, my uncle, who was teaching at Lipscomb. My other grandmother had money. This one didn't have any money, but she has my heart. The other one said, I'll pay his first year because we didn't have any money. She changed my life. Parents, you can do that. Grandparents, you can do that. Give that child. Find out every child has a quality. Now, they've got problems, and you need to help them work on those. But you show them what you see in them. And it's like a prophecy. They'll fulfill it. But you be sure each one of your grandchildren gets your blessing. Can't tell you how important that is. College professors have talked about this. They can tell the difference in the congregation. Some of them are in the classrooms. They can tell the kids who felt blessed and approved of by their parents and grandparents. Just like Timothy, Paul could lean back on that. The faith was in your grandmother and was in your mother, and I know it's you also. Bring up the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. It still works. The gospel is still powerful. God still has his ways. And if we will teach them his will, it will never leave them. Are you right with God yourself? You see, your example is going to be the most important thing. If they see you doing things they know are wrong, they'll never forget it. They can't ever get it out of their mind. You can repent, I understand, but they'll never get over it. And if they see you doing what is right, whether anybody else does or not, especially if they see you sacrifice and hurt for doing what is right, that'll help them stand up for Jesus. Does it sound like you need the Lord's help in doing all this? Buddy, do I ever? One day I visited a man in the hospital. He was an older man. He'd been very sick. He couldn't walk well anymore. He was so discouraged. Always a good man, faithful man. He and his wife, some of the best Christians in the congregation where I was working at the time. But he said, John, I just feel so bad. I wish God would take me. I just don't want to live anymore. Something came over me and I said to him, sir, do you know this is the most valuable time in your life? You can do more for God right now in your sick, painful condition than your whole rest of your life combined. Because I know something about you. I know that you and your wife are the bedrock of your family. He had other family around the town. In fact, one of his sons-in-law was an elder in one of the large congregations in Nashville. I said, God may well be keeping you here because your best work is right in front of you. When you're gone, a light will go out in the lives and hearts of every one of your grandchildren and your children that will never come back on again. Well, he got well. He got back to church. And it wasn't a few months later until we get this tragic phone call. His son-in-law, who was an elder in one of the congregations here in Nashville, had been killed dead on the way home from work. Somehow, a dump truck full of gravel had upset, rolled over on his car and smashed him. That family was in total shock. And I saw that old man support that family, help that family through those terrible, tragic times. He never told me, but I know he knew God had something for him to do that would not have been done for his family had he not been here. Is it a mission impossible? Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. One time, the disciples were trying to help Jesus, they thought. People were bringing little children to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and bless them. And they were hindering them, and it downright made Jesus mad. He said, "Suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." That's how important the blessing was. And what did he do? He took them in his arms and he blessed them. You pass on Jesus' blessing. And kiddos, let me say this to you. Part of receiving the blessing of Jesus is attending church regularly and coming to Bible class and learning about him. Hey, listen, Jesus is dynamite. He'll change your life. He'll help you stay out of bad situations you'll get yourself into. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." Where does it start? Well, everyone has to make a decision. Will I follow Jesus or will I not? I remember making that decision. I was 12 years old. I've never backed up and I've never quit. I'm so glad I have. I've talked to a lot of folks who have and they were very, very sorry. They wish so much it could be different. Right now, life is in front of you, young folks. For a lot of us, it's still out there. We don't know how long it is, but it's out there. And we can do our best work right where we are. Brighten the corner where you are. You remember that old song you'd hear it on the radio? Brighten the corner where you are. Bless those little children. Pass on the blessing of Christ. You Bible teachers, thank you for what you do. You're passing on that blessing. Moms and dads, thank you for what you do. Our big job, our one big job in Scripture, we'll talk about this next week on Father's Day. Train up the child in the way he should go. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. Notice that tenderness, that love, nurture. Van, I planted your tomato plants this week. I've been nurturing them from a seed, and now they're up and they're standing like real tomatoes. These kiddos, nurture them, love them. My tie, I want you to see my tie. I've got three grandbabies in here. None of these three are here. One of them's bigger than me. One of them's twice as wide as me. And the other one is off at Eli Lilly making Alzheimer's pills to try to keep me going. So, you know, the future passes quickly. These days will soon be gone. And your opportunity, Paul says this about your baptism coming to him. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Grandparents, don't put off what you need to do. If you need to come to the Lord today for the forgiveness of sin, to begin your Christian life, or